Hey, my name's Otis Gray, host of the Daily Book Club, a daily podcast where I read wonderful old books one chapter at a time. Simple as that. Whether you want to get engaged and lost in a fascinating story that has stood the test of time, or just relax to a good book, listen to the Daily Book Club to get wrapped up or unwind during your day. We'll read classic stories like Pride and Prejudice, The Enchanted April, The Wind in the Willows, beautiful stories all told from start to finish. And you can even do a real book club. Tune into the Daily Book Club Discord and discuss the readings with other book club listeners. However you want to listen, it's your choice. Subscribe to the Daily Book Club on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere else. New episodes every single day. So sit back, relax, and get lost in the Daily Book Club.
Amateur Traveler, episode 267. Today, the Amateur Traveler goes to the island the French call the Isle of Beauty, as we talk about Corsica. Welcome to the Amateur Traveler. I'm your host, Chris Christensen. Before we get into this week's interview, I do have three news stories for you. The first one, we've had a series of stories about people being removed from flights, but I think Ryanair may get the record here as they kicked 100 different students off of the same flight because there was a disagreement about their baggage policy. And then that's not nearly so bad as the person who is now being detained in Texas because to catch a plane, he ditched his dog. When he found out he didn't have the proper documentation to fly with his dog, he apparently left the dog at the curb. He called a friend to get the dog, but did not wait for the friend to show up. He is now being charged with animal cruelty. And then in one of the strangest news stories, there may or may not be a law in Malawi against flatulence. There is a new law which prohibits fouling the air, and the Justice Minister and the Solicitor General disagree whether that's about industrial pollution or flatulence. For links to all of those stories, check out the show notes at amateurtraveler.com. I'd like to welcome back to the show Jeff Steiner, who is coming to us from France, but has come to talk to us about a lesser-known region of France, Corsica. And Jeff is coming to us from AmericansInFrance.com. Jeff, welcome back to the show.
Yeah, thank you very much. Nice to be back. Good to be back here. And it's AmericansInFrance.net, just in case.
Oh, sorry. I just asked you what it was, and then blew it.
That's okay. No, it's fine. Yes, they'll get there. They'll get there if they do the .com.
And for those who didn't hear Jeff on the show before, Jeff, you're coming to us from Burgundy in France, and we talked last time about that region, but this time you had gone on vacation down to Corsica, and I'd have to say I can only think of one Corsican in history even, let alone know that
right.
Much about that region.
Yes, Napoleon.
Napoleon, exactly. What led you down to Corsica?
What brought me down is that my wife's job, we were able to rent an apartment in Ajaccio for 2 weeks. And my wife had always wanted to go to Corsica for the summertime. To a lot of French people want to go. It's called the Île de Beauté, the Island of Beauty. And it really is a very, very beautiful island. Lots to do. And what the French love is the sun. And that's where the sun's at. And it's very, very nice.
Now, when the French go down, are they doing it mostly just as a beach vacation destination or...?
Yeah, it's mostly to relax and you go to the beach every day. Or well, the French are kind of into active vacations. And in Corsica, you can hike. There's a hiking trail that you can do. It's called the GR20, and you can go from the north in Calvi to the south in Conica. And you really couldn't do it. It'd probably take you two and a half weeks to do it. Hmm. And I know some French people who, well, what they do is 1 year will do half of it, and then the next year they go back to do the other half. They can do hiking, and it's very nice.
And you say hiking in Corsica. My mental picture of Corsica is a fairly rugged island.
Yeah, you know, it is. It is in the center, but most people probably spend their time on the beaches, in the water, or on boats, and just wandering around the different beaches that there are. Because, I mean, the island's almost, I think it's almost entirely surrounded where you can go to the beaches. There are some cliffs. I found some cliffs up in the north when I was driving back. It was a very scary drive, but very beautiful. Like if you're ever familiar with Hawaii and the road to Kona, I did that when I was a kid. I don't know if you know, ever heard about that.
Oh, sure.
That
I've done did that last year again.
You did that last year. This I found to be, there was a very narrow road. The roads in Corsica, it's not a big island, but the roads are very narrow. But it was a beautiful drive, absolutely beautiful drive, starting in Kauzi, which is supposedly the local St. Christopher Columbus was born. The house that was supposedly he was born that you can visit in Kauzi. Kauzi is a, like a citadel. They have a citadel there, and within the walls of the citadel, you have the house of Christopher Columbus.
Now, I would have sworn that the people of Genoa claimed Columbus as their own.
Yeah, well, Genoa too, yes. Well, see, Corsica was under Genoa.
It was Genoese.
Yeah, Genoa. Okay. It was under the control for about, I think, 400 years. So the idea was that Christopher Columbus was born in Corsica at the time, but nobody wanted to be born in Corsica. So he lied about it. That's the local story. That's the local story, because they said, well, who would want to come from this island? So he supposedly lied. That's what they say. And they have a house. I found the house. It's on my website. I took a picture of it. There's nothing left of the house. It's ruins. But they have a nice plaque on it. You can say, well, this is where Christopher Columbus was born.
Now, it's interesting that there is a difference of agreement where Christopher Columbus's body is now after his death. So we're not sure where he was born or where he died. But other than that, we're...
yes, exactly.
So you talked about hiking and you talked about driving. What itinerary would you recommend for Corsica?
Well, what I would suggest is that you spend a week to 2 weeks. You rent a jeep, which is self-catering, so you have some place to do your own cooking, and then you explore out from there. The island is not that big. You can get pretty much every place within a 3 or 4 hour drive, so it's, in that respect, it's pretty nice. We stayed in Ajaccio, which was, if you look at a map, it doesn't look like it's very central, but in certain respects it is, because it's near the south, and it's also, the roads are pretty good to go to the north. So you can kind of work out from there, and you can kind of look at stuff. That's what I would suggest. You stay in a jeep, and you can save money. Don't go to a restaurant every night, because restaurants are expensive, and you can cook for yourself. And you can go to local markets and buy local foods and buy fish, for example, and you can make your own meals. It's great.
I'm not clear with the quality of the sound, and unfortunately we tried to do Skype, but we didn't have a good microphone, so we've gone back to a phone call here to France. What, you're saying I should stay in a what? I'm hearing jeep.
Jeep.
Which is
you know what a jeep is? Self-catering. It's basically, I'm not sure if we call them in America. In UK, they call them self-catering.
Okay.
Essentially, you rent an apartment for a week or so.
Okay.
And that way you have some place you can cook. If you stayed in a hotel, you wouldn't have a place to cook. You'd have to go out.
Right. It was just the word you were using that I was hearing the name for a military vehicle in the United States. J-E-E-P.
A jeep. Ah, it's a jeep. I'm sorry. Yeah, when the sound's not good, the sound's not good.
And so the word is?
Jeep. G-I-T-E.
G-I-T-E. Okay. Thank you very much. Okay. And you said there's a lot to see. What would you recommend that we see while we're on the island?
Okay, what I would recommend is that you visit Kauzi, which is where some people think Christopher Columbus was born. You drive the 81 road back to Ajaccio, which is beautiful. There's Bonifacio, which is in the south, which has beautiful cliffs. You take the boat ride, and you can go out in the Mediterranean a little bit, and you can see the white cliffs, and they're beautiful, absolutely beautiful. And then you can explore the different beaches. We just went and randomly found a beach along the road, and we went to, and it was beautiful. What I really liked about Corsica that I found that was really, really nice is that you have the mixture of the sun, the beaches, and the water's warm. And you really have that very much like Hawaii. That's what I found it in Hawaii. And it's really, really nice to just lay on the beaches and you go in the water and the water is warm. And there's also not a lot of waves. Now, if you like to surf, it's not the place to go. Mm-hmm. But to relax and just to kind of go swim around, it's really nice.
Okay. And you mentioned going to where Christopher Columbus was born in Ajaccio. Any particular thing we should see while we're there? You really can't say you've been in Ajaccio if you haven't seen the...
I would go to Napoleon's house.
Okay.
You can go in, you can visit his house and go in and you can see where he was, the room he was born. And in Ajaccio in July and August, they did this last year in 2010, they had a reenactment. They had soldiers marching through the town, which is kind of cool. And they have an area where they have a statue of Napoleon, and they went before that area and they did some marching and stuff, and they fired the guns, which is kind of cool. So that was pretty nice. What else I would do is what's called the Bloodthirsty Islands. And they're near Ajaccio, and you have to drive out going, I believe it's west. And you drive out there, and you'll see one of these towers. When Corsica was under the rule of the Genoese, they built towers around the islands. And the idea was you had, I think there were like 30 or 40 different towers, and each one was in the view of the next one. And so if they thought that they were going to be attacked or invaded, they would light a fire. And then the next one would light the fire, and so on and so on. So the island, within an hour, would know that there was going to be attacks. Everybody would know, and they could be on alert. And those are really cool. They're all through the coastline. And also, not to miss, so I mean, even though it's an island, you want to go to the beach and stuff, is to go to Corte, right in the center of Corsica. And it's was at one time, because Corsica for about 10 years, I believe, was independent. For a very short time, it was independent, and that was the capital. And in Corte, you have the only university on the island. And in Corte, it's really, really nice, very small, kind of it's built on the side of a hill. And there's a little train that you can drive, which is just a little, like some cars all hooked up together, but it looks, they call them a petit train, a little train. And you can take that to Corte, and it's real nice.
Okay, this is one of the tourist trains that they have in...
Yeah, it's one of the, you know, some people might think they're tourist traps, but I think they're very nice. You know, it's on a train and everything, but they're about 45 minutes to an hour. Ajaccio has one. I think Bastia probably does also. They're a nice way to see the city, see the town, and they show you all the sites.
So it's a guided tour.
Yeah, it's like a guided tour.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought it was kind of cool. I kind of like that, and I made a little video about it, too, on my website.
Okay. Well, I was going to say, one thing, question too, since you're doing a guided tour there, that brings up the question of language. Now, you speak fluent French, I assume.
Yeah, I speak fluent French.
But they speak predominantly Corsican.
They speak Corsican and French.
Okay.
Everybody speaks French. The amount of Corsican spoken, to be quite honest, I don't know.
Okay.
There's a university, and I believe it teaches in Corsican, or it teaches Corsican. So there's that. I didn't hear a lot.
Okay, and I was assuming you had not learned Corsican to go down there. I don't think it's very common outside of the island.
It's nothing like that. No, no, no. It's the Corsican before they're French, but they speak French.
Okay, I think I saw 80% speak French. Is English also readily available?
You know, that would probably have some language difficulties.
Okay.
You'd probably have some times where you'd have to get around. I mean, that's probably the drawback of going to Corsica, is if you don't speak French. If you speak Italian, it's okay, because it's right next to Italy. So they're used to people from Italy coming to visit. That's not a problem. But if you speak English, I did hear a couple of Americans and British people that were there, but that conceivably could be a problem. But it would probably be the same as if you left Paris anywhere else, any of the big cities. You go to the French countryside. So if you travel around the French countryside or the Italian countryside and you're comfortable with that, then of course it's not going to be an issue. You would have been used to it.
Okay.
It was kind of funny. I went to a few markets and some people tried to speak English to me. So you can kind of, maybe you can get by with baby. Or you test out your French too, if you want to give it a try.
And I interrupted while you were talking about things to see.
Yeah, Bonifacio is very nice. In Corte. Corte, I really like. There's a drive. You go from Ajaccio, Corte, and then you go to Bastia. It's a very nice drive, beautiful scenic route, lots of stopping for photos and walking around. And there's also, which I only visited a little bit, there's a little desert in Corsica. It's near Calvi. It's the north near Calvi and the Île Rousse. There's a desert. You can actually drive on it. The D81 actually continues after it goes through Calvi. It does go on, and it goes through this little desert. And I was only able to drive through a little bit of it, but it really looked nice. And it's kind of, you know, you go from the beach to the desert, and you can go from the mountains, too. So it's kind of, it gives you a different, something else to see. But I think if you definitely go, is that you want to go to the markets.
Okay.
Because, I mean, this is like in France anyway, but you want to go to the market because there's two foods that you want to buy if you go to Corsica are the dried ham and the cheese. they have a sheep and goat cheese. They don't really have cows. They don't have enough farmland for cows. And they have a really good cheese, really, really good cheese, different cheeses. What's really nice is that all the markets have local produce. It's real nice.
And the ham, is that similar to a Spanish ham, a jamón ibérico, or?
Probably. It's dried out. Mm-hmm. What's kind of unique about it is that they feed the pigs chestnuts.
Oh, interesting.
We visited a pig farm. It's very, what they call in France, artisanal. So it's very craftsman type. So there's not going to have 100 pigs. The guy had, I think, at most 30. It's not like a big industrial. And he took us on a train ride. He did a little train ride. He took us up and saw some beautiful views. And he showed us the chestnut trees. And they feed the pigs the chestnuts because it's too expensive to bring in other feed. They want to give them as much local vegetation and local
sure.
stuff
mm-hmm.
that they can do, because in Corsica they don't grow their own corn, so they have to bring it all in. So it kind of gives it a unique flavor. I mean, it's some of the best ham I've had.
Interesting.
Yeah. It's also one of the best fish I ever had. We bought it at the fish market at Ajaccio. It was excellent. I don't know what kind of fish it was, but it was very, very good. Yeah.
What was your biggest surprise with Corsica?
I think the mix of, you have the mountains and then you have the beach right next to them. Coming from California, where you kind of, it's not that quick because you have right by the beach, you have mountains. Then you can see, you can almost walk to them. And it was really interesting. The landscape is pretty unique. For me anyways, I had never seen that. It was very, very unique.
I'm thinking perhaps you have never been to Santa Barbara or the central coast of California, but okay.
Yes, I haven't been to the coast of California. I mean, I haven't been, but the mountains were pretty tall.
Yep.
You're very high up, and then you go right down into the ocean. That was one of the things I really liked. And also how you go somewhere like Corte, it's right in the middle of the mountains, and you have what looks like a little medieval town. It was really cool. That was really something.
And what was your best day?
The best day, I think, was when we spent relaxing on the beach, and we had a hike down, and we had a hike back up. It was about a 15-minute hike down, and we had a walk through, and we drove, and the road was kind of a dirt road, and we weren't really sure what path to take, and then finally we hit the beach, and it was a mix. You had the sand and the rocks, boulders popping up out of the sea, and it was really, really nice, and we just kind of laid around there all day. Didn't get much done, but it was very relaxing. It was very relaxing in the sun. My son loved to play in the sand. It would just play like that. You go in the water if you get a little cold or something. If the wind starts picking up, just go in the water and get warm again.
Okay.
That was really cool.
And were the things, as you prepared for this trip, that the guidebooks or the resources you used recommended that you would not recommend?
You know, I would probably say that we stayed in Ajaccio, but I wouldn't spend a lot of time there. You could probably see everything in a day.
Okay.
I don't know, because Ajaccio, it's a bit modern, so I don't know if I would necessarily spend a lot of time there. You might have to leave from there because the ferry's coming in. I mean, most of the way you access Ajaccio or you access Corsica is via ferry.
And you're coming in from Nice or Genoa? Or
The cheapest is to come in through northern Italy.
Okay.
Corsica ferries has a bunch of routes that come in. Northern Italy to Bastia is the cheapest. The one thing, if you do take the boat, is you don't want to book on a Saturday, because that's the most expensive day. If you can, you want to do during the week.
Okay.
Saturdays are the busiest and the most expensive day, because that's when everybody comes in and stuff. It's the way it works in France. Saturdays is the day you leave to go on vacation and you come back on vacation. So when we were booking our tickets, we looked at it, and it was on Saturday. It was like almost twice as much. So that's something to watch out for. You don't want to book on a Saturday. Sunday's okay. Monday's fine. Friday is good. Anytime during the week is going to be good.
Okay. While you were there, you spoke the language, or at least one of the languages that everybody knows. Did you meet anyone who stands out in your memory?
Yeah, there was a guy who, in fact, he had a pig farm, and we wanted to go. We met him, and he would sing. And he had all his hams out there, and he was singing. And in fact, I made some videos, and he's in one of the videos, and he's singing to people. And then we came back a couple days later, and he had a toy gun, in his belt, just kind of to play up for the tourists and stuff. He had this toy gun. Corsicans have a reputation of being very rough and tumble, kind of like Chicago in the Great Depression in the 30s. So he kind of was playing that up, and he had his, not a cowboy hat, but he had his hat on, and he was playing up that he was really a real Corsican. He was from a local town, and that was the person who really stood out the most, very colorful local person, and he was selling his great ham. I think he came down every day to the local market. In Jacksonville, they have a daily market during the summertime. That's the person who would stand out the most.
Okay. And that may be the answer to this question. Is there anything you saw that made you just laugh and say, only in Corsica?
Yeah, that would probably be it, because I don't know any other who would have what looked like a real gun. It was a toy gun, obviously, but what looked like a stallkeeper in a market have a gun like that. I can't imagine only in Corsica. That's the only thing, because they do have the mafia type in France, the mafia type of reputation. So he was definitely playing up on that. It was kind of funny, just kind of give some local flavor.
Okay, Jeff, is there anything else we should know before we go to Corsica?
Yeah, I suggest if you go, you take your car, you take the ferry, but you can fly. There are, in fact, 4 airports. It's a very small island, but it has 4 airports, Ajaccio, Bastia, Calvi, and Figari. Those are those 4 of them. And you can actually fly from either, obviously, France, but you can also go from Switzerland, Geneva, or Basel to Corsica. And, of course, you can also fly in from the UK. And I even saw a flight was coming from Tel Aviv. You can go through a German Wings flight from Tel Aviv to Cologne, and then Cologne to, I believe it was Bastia. So you can go to Germany, too, if you want. If you're in Germany, you could fly into Corsica. So it does have the 4 airports. Most of the flights are going to be during the summer. I was looking, but the only one I think who flies year-round is Air France, which comes in probably from Paris. And I think you can also fly in from Lyon. EasyJet flies in from Lyon. So there's other ways to get there. It's an island, but I don't know that I would bicycle because the roads are very small. We did see some people bicycling. Don't know if that would be the best transportation. I think the best transportation is the car, personally, and the hiking, too, if you want to hike. Ah, that's right. There's also a train. There is a train system.
This is a real train at this point we're talking about.
It's a real train. This is not the pitsy train. It's not a small train. This is a real train, yes. There's a real train. It goes from Ajaccio to Bastia and Ajaccio to Calvi. And I was going to do it. It's in the guidebooks, and I think it's definitely something you would want to do because the views must be incredible. The only problem is that there's only like 1 or 2 trains a day. So you have to leave in the morning, and you arrive in the evening or the early afternoon at your destination. That's the only problem. They don't have a lot of trains because it's a small system. They only have a few trains. But they did actually have the remodeled. They have new trains. They remodeled it. So you can do that. That would be another option. If you were saying, for example, if you wanted to backpack. See, I saw some backpackers, too, are hitchhiking. You can do that, too. That's not necessarily going to be a problem. So that's another option.
Okay. As we go to wind this down, last 2 questions. Finish this sentence for me. You really know you're in Corsica when what?
When you have a ham sandwich, buying local ham, going into a boulangerie and buying a baguette, and sitting by the ocean, the sea, I should say, and looking at the sunset. That's the way you know you're in Corsica. And then you finish it up with some cheese, some goat or sheep cheese.
Excellent. And if you had to summarize Corsica in 3 words, what 3 words would you use?
3 words? Like the adjectives, you mean?
Adjectives often are chosen, but there is no limitation except for the number.
There's no limitation except for the number. Sun.
Sun, okay.
Beach.
Okay.
And warm.
Excellent. Excellent, Jeff. Thanks so much for coming back on the show. Again, the website, let's see if I can do it right this time, is AmericansInFrance.net.
Yes.
And Jeff writes, I'd see you write more about Burgundy than any other parts of France, but you write about all parts of France, as I recall.
Yes, my wife is from Burgundy, so that's why I've written about it most. I've been going there for about 10 years. But I write, anywhere I go to, like I did with Corsica, I write about it and I talk about it. I try to do it from a personal perspective and things that I've seen.
Great. Well, Jeff, thanks so much for coming back on the show.
No problem. Nice to be here.
We had some great comments on the last 2 episodes, which were about L.A. with our guest, Eric Schwartzman. Great, not necessarily that everybody liked it, but great because I love the feedback. The first one was from Chris, who said, I love this episode, particularly the format with specific plans for each day. And then on the other side was Lisa, who said, I really enjoy the show. It is my weekly highlight at work as I pretend to be traveling somewhere else than sitting and looking at my computer screen. I love to hear about places I haven't been to and places that I have traveled to. I'm a 20-something resident of Los Angeles and have to comment on the recent episode about Los Angeles. One of the things I like about The Amateur Traveler is how the interviewees often put their spin and personalities into the places they are talking about. However, I could not help but be annoyed and disappointed at Eric's portrayal of Los Angeles. I felt he was shallow, showy, and made LA seem all about beautiful people. I agree that much of the allure towards LA is its prominent role in entertainment, and that is a fun part of living here. However, Eric aimed much of his itinerary towards the B&B scene, socialite, bar-hopping crowd. LA has much to offer to families other than Disneyland, people who don't wear designer labels, outdoor types, elderly, and people on a budget. To focus only on the seemingly glamorous lifestyle of the rich, beautiful, and famous is to miss much of LA. Sorry to even make a negative comment about your show, but I felt I had to stick up for the rest of LA. I understand what you're saying, Lisa. Definitely, Eric stressed some of that, although if you go back and listen to it again, I think you'll notice that he did have some other things in there that were not for the rich and famous, but definitely I would say that he played on that. In terms of Eric himself, I would say that he is neither shallow nor showy. I happen to know the fellow, and he's a very nice person, and I did enjoy the show, even though Eric and I did also not agree on some things. For instance, I love the La Brea Tar Pits. Daryl did not back me up on this. Daryl said, hey, Chris, I really enjoy the two-part LA interview. Very detailed. I totally agree with the tar pits, unless you were an educator or something. He mentioned the library. I really like some of the sculptures in the building and am surprised that the main library is a skyscraper. Unless it is really smoggy, one great place to see the Hollywood sign is the mall behind Grauman's Chinese Theater. That I did not know. Since you will probably be in that area, might as well get a good view of the sign. I'm surprised that he missed the Watts Tower. Certainly there are many things in LA, so yes, Eric did not cover the Watts Tower, and it is an interesting thing. There are pictures on the Amateur Traveler website of the Watts Tower if you don't know what Daryl is talking about. I really did enjoy the show. I thought Eric did a terrific job, and honestly, I never even expect to agree with everything that the guests say. Guests bring on their own unique perspectives, and it's fun to see even a city like LA that I've been to through someone else's eyes. With that, we're going to wind up this episode of The Amateur Traveler. If you have any questions, comments, if you'd like to bone to pick with us about some episode and how we portrayed it, I'd be glad to hear from you. Go ahead and leave a comment on this episode at amateurtraveler.com or send me an email to host@amateurtraveler.com. And you can also follow me on Twitter at Chris2X. And as always, thanks so much for listening. I got to see one more cathedral. I got to sit in one more cafe.
Grand Canyon University's RN to BSN online degree program makes earning your bachelor's in nursing possible. Balance online coursework with local in-person clinicals to position yourself for potential leadership opportunities in the time you have from wherever you are, leaving room for what matters. Achieve your goals with your personalized plan and team behind you. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Visit gcu.edu.